So today is Pentecost Sunday, May the 31st, 2020. Very blessed to be with you on this special time of Pentecost. Peter, as you know, and we've talked about it, referred to this wonderful great day as the beginning. And it truly was the beginning of a very special time in the history of human beings. And it continues to this day. It's called in the Bible the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery. It was on that day that a number of great realities began and continue for those who accept Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead. Things like the gift of eternal life, the gift of Holy Spirit, made righteous in God's eyes, delivered from the wrath to come, and many, many more rights, privileges, and abilities that we can read about in the church epistles. And this morning, finishing up this very brief review, let's look at and consider two great realities. One of those is pretty familiar to many born-again Christians. The other sometimes gets overlooked. So the one that's very familiar is the relationship of God being our Father. And as you know from reading the Gospels, Jesus Christ introduced this concept to the world of God being our Father. So many times in the Gospels you read where Jesus Christ referred to God as the Father, Father, our Father, my Father, your Father. And of course, this great reality is very evident in reading the church epistles. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15 says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption," or better translated, sonship spirit, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, well, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." These verses tell us plainly we are children because we have received his Spirit. Very similar in Galatians chapter 4, if you flip over there. Galatians chapter 4. And in verse 6, "And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you're no more a servant, but a son, and if you're a son, then an heir of God through Christ." You know, it says in Ephesians 3, Paul, when he was praying, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He prayed to the Father. In Colossians, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, who's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So we pray to the Father. We thank the Father. And here's the thing. God is literally our Father. This isn't just some nice phrase we use in our group, or, you know, we say this phrase to make ourselves sound special or spiritual. No, no. It's literally true because of birth. We are born again, born from above. We have his seed nature in us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we looked at this verse, I think, before when we were talking about being born from above a few weeks ago. But another very familiar verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "being born again." Remember we talked about birth? Okay, being born again, "not of corruptible seed." Okay, it's the reason we die. We have corruptible seed. It's not everlasting, eternal. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." We are literally children of God, meaning God is literally our Father by birth and by seed. And keep in mind, this was not available before that great day of Pentecost. What an awesome privilege when you think about that. Not only has God given us eternal life, remission of sins, put His Holy Spirit in us, given us the great hope of meeting Jesus Christ face to face, and so much more, but He's literally our Father. Boy, think of it. We can address the Creator of the heavens and the earth as His children. We can call Him Father because He literally is our Father. What an awesome reality that is. Let's now consider another great reality that began on the day of Pentecost. In the Old Testament, if you would turn to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. In the Old Testament, I do believe you are familiar, as most people are, even non-Christians, but in the Old Testament, there was this group of people that were God's chosen people. He was their God, and they were His people. They belonged to Him. But how did that arrangement come to be that this certain group of people were His people? It came about because of God's choosing. In other words, it was God who decided and initiated it. And if you take the time to read some great sections in Genesis pertaining to Abraham, but in Genesis 17, you can read about God initiating a covenant, and a covenant is simply an agreement, a specific formal agreement. God did this with Abraham. God made specific special promises to Abraham. And then in verse 7 of chapter 17, well, that's not what I'm looking for. Oh, well, no wonder. Pardon me, I'm in Exodus. It just didn't fit. Pardon me. All right, Genesis chapter 17, and look at verse 7. This is what God said as He was establishing and initiating this covenant agreement with Abraham. He said in verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto you and to your seed after thee the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession." And look at this, "and I will be their God." God told him, "I'll be a God unto you." And He also said, concerning Abraham's offspring, "I will be their God." Now, it's really important to note, it was God who initiated this by establishing a covenant. It wasn't Abraham looking up to heaven going, "Oh, where is God? I wish He would be my God." This is God's doing. In Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 11. Let's look at this verse. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. "For I am the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I'm holy." God brought them out of Egypt to be their God. It was God who chose to be their God. And as I'm sure you're familiar, God Almighty exercised some pretty great power in bringing them out of Egypt. And you can read similar statements like this one in from verse 45. Similar statements like this are also in Leviticus. But take a look at Numbers chapter 15. In Numbers 15, you know, God told Moses, "Look, here's what I want you to do." He said, "Look, I want you to have the children of Israel put this blue fringe around the border of their clothing. And that'll serve as a reminder for them to remind them about God, to remind them to do the Word of God. And verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Wow, little emphasis there, huh? See, it's very important to see and understand that it was God's decision. It was His choosing. Very specific, formal covenants, agreements, all initiated by God. It was His choice to be their God. Now, we're going to go to the New Testament. There's a number of verses we could read in the Old Testament, but you know, I thought about a verse in Thessalonians, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is just kind of interesting when you think about the children of Israel, God's chosen people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 9, it says of these people, Paul writing to them, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now look at this. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who delivered us from the wrath to come. But verse 9, the last part of verse 9, they turned to God from idols. Isn't this interesting? How many times in the Old Testament do we read about God's chosen people, the Hebrew people, the people God chose to be their God, the people He chose to be His people? How many times did they turn away from serving Him, the one true God, and instead turn to serving idols? Boy, that happened a few times in the Old Testament, didn't it? And when they did that, it didn't go very well for them, did it? No, it didn't. But isn't it interesting that here in 1 Thessalonians, these Gentiles turned away from idols to serve the living and true God? I just thought that was beautiful. So, in the Old Testament, and remember, this is part three of this very brief review, okay? So this is a, part three is a brief review as well. In the Old Testament, for the Hebrew people, the Creator of the heavens and the earth determined to be their God. God chose them, and thus they belonged to God. They were God's people. It's very accurate, God's chosen people. God chose Abraham and his descendants, the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, the Judeans, all those related by blood, bloodline. That means all the other peoples on the planet were not God's people. Just Abraham and his descendants. And you know something? That relationship that God had with His chosen people was still in effect in Jesus' day. Remember when Jesus said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? Remember that lady who was not a Judean, brought her daughter and said, I need some help. And He said, look, I can't give the children's food to dogs. That's what the Gentiles were. Gentiles just means all the other nations. They were unclean. They were dogs. You don't talk to them. You don't have anything to do with them. You don't go into their house. You don't touch them. For goodness sake, don't touch them. You want to talk about social distancing? The Jews and the Gentiles? Yeah, that was in effect, let me tell you. Romans chapter 5. So, for those people that were not of Israel, what does God's word say about people who are not of Israel before they got born again? In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for when we were, past tense, yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. That's pretty plain, isn't it? We were without God, without the one true God. Ephesians 2 makes it really clear, I think. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, you were Gentiles. Circumcision refers to Israel, those of Judean. They would call you a Gentile. They would call you an uncircumcised person. Remember, in times past, that's who you were. And at that time, you were without Christ. There's no Messiah promised to the Gentiles. Messiah was going to come to Israel. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, have no part in any of that stuff that God promised to Abraham and his descendants. They were God's chosen people. They get all the promises. They get God to be their God, to be their protector, to be their supplier, to be their everything. At that time, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Gentiles. But now, oh my goodness, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Now, because something has changed, and things changed drastically on that great day of Pentecost. You know, one of the reasons this time period since the day of Pentecost, one of the reasons it's called the administration of the mystery, is that God kept a really, really big secret. For all those centuries, God honored his covenant with Israel, his chosen people. But something much bigger and better was coming, and God never told anybody about it. What was coming? An invite to everybody on the planet. In other words, God was planning, had a big secret to invite the Gentiles in. Matter of fact, all the rest of the human race invited, where God Almighty wanted to be their God too. And look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not known. Well, verse 4 says, when you read this, you can understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, with it, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here it is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Let's read that verse again. That the Gentiles, meaning everybody else who was not of Israel, this is the big secret, should be fellow heirs, heirs together with the Judeans? What? And of the same body, part of the same group. It's going to be no longer Jews and Gentiles, but one body. And partakers share together of the promises of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh my goodness. This was huge. Especially to the Judeans. You know, their whole life. You know, we're God's chosen people. You know, yeah, we screwed up from time to time, but we're still God's people. God's still our God, not the Gentiles, not those guys. They're not a part of, we're so special. We're so special. We are Israel. We are God's chosen people. Man, when this hit the news, it shook up a lot of Judeans. And as you know from reading the book of Acts and the church epistles, many of those Judeans who got born again had a big problem with Gentiles coming in. Big conflict back then. But this was huge. A drastic change occurred on that day of Pentecost. God chose to be the God, not of the bloodline of Abraham, but to anyone, all who believe in Jesus, who get born again of his Spirit. And those who are born again are called the Church of God. You know, it's God's church. Now, people may say it's the Roman church, the Methodist church, the Anglican church, whatever. but it's God's church. And whether you're from a Judean background or a Gentile background makes no difference. Male or female makes no difference. Slave or free makes no difference. Rich or poor makes no difference. Black or white makes no difference. We are all one special group called the Church of God, the one body, and Jesus Christ is the head of this one body. And think about this. Since God is literally our Father by birth, guess what? We're all related. Literally. Yeah. What, I'm related to Him? Yeah. We are all brothers and sisters. We're not related because of bloodline, but by His Spirit. We all have His Spirit in us. It's God's Spirit in us. That's what connects us all to each other. And look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:6 says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all." One God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. He is both our God and our Father. He is our God because He chose to be our God. He is our Father because of the new birth that He made available. One God and Father of all of us. And He is in all of us because He placed His Spirit in us. I remember hearing a few times when I watched, I don't even know if they do them anymore, but they were having these press conferences when the pandemic started. And I can remember hearing the phrase, "We are going to utilize the full weight of the federal government." Have you heard that phrase? The full weight, you know, which meant, you know, all the power and resources of the federal government to take on this pandemic. In the Bible, one of the names used for God is El Shaddai. And God uses different words in the Bible to describe Himself, and He uses those words very precisely. You know, like in Genesis 1, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That word for God is Elohim, and it's always used when it's referring to God as the Creator. The word El Shaddai refers to God as almighty, unlimited in resources to defend, to support, and to supply. And so many times in the Old Testament, you see God, El Shaddai, bringing the full weight of His power to help His people. Well, you know what? God has not changed. God has not lost any of His power. Was it saying Isaiah? Is the Lord's arm whacked short that He can't deliver? He is still God Almighty. He is still unlimited in resources to defend, to support, and to supply. And He is our God. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Happy Pentecost. We're going to close in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 16. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" I think we read this last week, maybe. "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God." And I think we talked about this last week. God is in us. How? By way of the Spirit. He put His Spirit in us. I will be their God. That's His choosing, not ours. I will be their God. Verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In verse 16, he is our God. And in verse 18, he is our Father. He is both. By God's choice, we truly belong to God Almighty. We are his people, and we are his children. Since the day of Pentecost, God opened the door and invited anyone in. And for those who accept, then he is both a father to us and he is our God to us. And so we should never underestimate the love of our Heavenly Father, the love that our Father has for us. You know, the Bible says in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Likewise, we should never underestimate the power and resources of our God. He is still El Shaddai. He is still unlimited in power and resources to defend, to support, and to supply. He is still a God who can do the impossible on our behalf. He is well able to bear his mighty arm for you. There is no God who can deliver like the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one true God. And as he said in his word, there is no other. And so when we pray to him, when we lay our petitions before him, when we praise him, when we thank him, let's remember we are his dear children because he chose to be our Father, and he is our God because he chose to be our God. He chose us to be his people. He is our God and our Father. He is both. And so what an explosion of blessings that began on that wonderful day of Pentecost. No wonder we read and reread and reread the church epistles, not only to see these great truths, but to continue to gain greater understanding and insight to access the blessings and power of our God and Father, so that we can enjoy these rights, privileges, and abilities that all started on that great day of Pentecost. What a wonderful day that was. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we just sit here in awe of your greatness, of the love that you have for us, that you would choose to be God and Father of whoever accepts Jesus as Lord and believe that you raised him from the dead, that you would have such a wide open invitation. We thank you, Father, for being born again, for being your child, for you being our God, for the eternal life that you've given us and all the great many benefits that we have. Thank you for having written your word so that we could read and understand and know who we are. And Father, that we could continue to understand more, and that Father, we could, with the love of God in our hearts, reach out to others with the love that you've given us as imitators of God, as dear children. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings on our lives. For I, the Lord thy God, am a strong and powerful and mighty God. There is no limit to my power. There's no limit to my love. Continue to walk on the greatness of my word, believing those words, for my words are true. Continue to trust me and look to me, and I will guide your paths. I will protect you. I will help you. For I indeed am your God and Father. Amen. Well, happy Pentecost. Next Sunday, I'm planning on sharing 6 verses that I truly hope and pray will give you great encouragement as well as confidence in putting all your trust in God, not only in these confusing days, but at any time. So again, thank you all for joining us today on this phone-in fellowship. We're going to do it again next Sunday. Feel free to give the info to anybody that you might think might be interested. I love you very much. Thank God for you. And I'm going to unmute everyone's phone so that we can all try to say goodbye at the same time, which is always fun, right? Thanks again. God bless you.